Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are God's, little g. You are God's because you came from God.
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
God came from heaven, became a man, made man into little gods.
We have the potential and the capacity through a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to know God, but that does not mean we are God. The Bible is very clear. There is only one God, and he will not share his glory with another.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Who else would like to see Jimmy get really annoyed? This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy.
Yes.
You know that video that I sent to you yesterday from Not the Bee, titled Gay Ice Agent versus Karen? Now, I don't know if the dude is gay, and I don't know if her real name is Karen. I think it might be a pejorative. Yeah. It was filmed in Minneapolis. It's an exchange between these two parties and the other ice agents. And Jimmy, we're just not going to use it.
We're not going to use it.
Yeah, I've just decided to can it.
Yeah, that's okay, Todd. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wanted to spend an hour worth of my time for nothing. Mm-hmm. That's okay. That's quite all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't have anything else I could have been doing.
So bummer. Well, you didn't get as torqued as I thought you would. I thought it would have been less sarcasm and more disdain is what I thought it would have been. It took you how long to beep out Karen's, her potty mouth.
Yeah, about 45 minutes.
About 45 minutes worth of beeping went into what you're about to hear. Why are we sharing this profanity-laced video clip that's about 3 minutes long? Because I thought it was as good a demonstration of Romans 1. We are living in a world, we've all recognized it, we've all had these conversations at the dinner table, that the world is upside down and people's thinking is so backwards. And I think we do well to really grasp how darkened people's minds are, because it's going to point us to the solution. It's going to point us to the only solution, because what you're about to hear is unhinged. It's just, it's like values and priorities that are totally flipped upside down. That's the world that we are currently swimming in. How do we help people like this? It doesn't help to mock, to make fun, to call names. That doesn't do anything. That might be a catharsis for some, but that doesn't advance the cause. We want to expand the kingdom. We want people to be brought into the family of God. That is our goal. And when we lose focus of that, then what we're going to do is watch something like this, and just the temperature is just going to get turned up a little bit, just a little bit hotter. A little bit hotter until we just boil over. But if we remember, these people are lost. Their minds are increasingly darkened. I think we talked about this maybe a couple of days ago here. I remember thinking when I first read Romans 1, to study it, that it would just be the darkened mind, the depraved mind would just be sexual stuff. It's not. It's the noetic effect of the fall. Just more intense. Our brains, the wiring. Sorry, Dr. Gifford. Just the way we think, it's all goofed up. Everything is plugged into the wrong socket. And what we're seeing is it's getting increasingly worse. And we need to be confronted with it so that we can confront them with what? The same amount of vitriol? The same amount of profanity, or with the cure. Prepare to go to Minnesota. Bundle up. It's a little nippy through the pass there, Hair. This is actually, I'm looking at the video. There's not that much snow. What's the deal? February in Minnesota almost makes me want to move back.
It's unseasonably warm.
Yeah, scratch that. Here we go. This is Romans 1.
These absolute nerds ran my plates. I was yelling at them at Walmart North. So now they drove all the way to Claremont, to my old address, to my parents, to try to intimidate me like they know where the I'm from or some shit. Look at this.
Okay, so to color this for you, apparently these people are pulling up to her former address. They're pulling up to what they think is her parents' house. She's behind them. She's got the camera. So we're seeing the back of the ICE vehicle, which, like every other vehicle in Minnesota, is just caked with schmutz. It's just got salt and dirt on it. You can see where the windshield wiper just kind of created a little bit of a hole for them to look out the back window. It's Minnesota.
Do you think I'm impressed?
Okay, the guy's getting out.
Stop! This isn't where I live. That's fine. This isn't where I live.
Do your parents still pay all your bills?
No.
Because I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
Okay, that dude's a little snippy. Is this your parents' house? What did he say? Is that where you pay your bills?
Do your parents still pay all your bills?
Okay, I gotta hear this again.
Because I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
If my parents paid all my bills,
we just want to make sure you got home.
This isn't where I live.
It's okay, Olivia. We appreciate it.
You can go talk to them. Well, this isn't where I live.
So if this is not where your vehicle's at, you might want to look that up with their state.
It is, buddy. My address is correct on my ID and where my car is registered.
Okay.
Good try, though.
All right. Thanks, Olivia.
Do you feel strong or what?
We're good. Have a great day, okay?
They're trying to walk away. She's trying to reel him back in.
I'll keep following you, okay?
Oh, no, she doesn't care. She doesn't care.
One of the dudes wants to go and engage with her, and he's trying to talk her out of it, talk him out of it.
They never do.
How does it feel to be a race traitor?
You know, we were trying to get...
How does it feel to be a race traitor? Because they're trying to actually arrest somebody who's a violent criminal.
Trying to get a child molester, right?
No, you weren't.
Yes, we were.
How would you know?
Because it was a woman you talked to.
His wife?
And then his play came back as murder.
Also, I just want to say, calling someone a race traitor.
But you guys don't care.
I hope you realize that is the most racist thing you can say as a white woman.
Of course,
and
it is.
So you know, this isn't a good look for you.
You think I care about my look.
No, oh, no, no, trust me.
When you guys
it is evident by how you look, you don't care. We get that, trust me. No, that's all I'm saying. I'm just saying this, trying to be a social warrior. If you actually cared, you probably would care about the child who got raped and also the person who got murdered by the person that we were looking for. But see, you don't care.
No, I don't care.
There it is right there. That would be the money clip right there. They are more concerned about what they think is racism in some way, shape, or form, that they're willing to overlook that these people are after a child molester. But that is the lesser crime in their world. Now, how flipped is that? How upside down is that?
The child who got raped and also the person got murdered by the person that we were looking for. But see, you don't care.
No, I don't care because you exactly. guys try.
Thank you. Thank you.
You just yeah, try to detain go. Legal immigrants. None of you actually give a
really?
If you were here to get illegal, violent immigrants off the street, that would be fine. That's not what you're doing.
It's not. No, hold on. It's okay. She said.
But you can see the other ICE agent. He's like pulling his hair literally like.
Back up.
It's not.
It's not what you're doing.
Just so you know. If you were to spray that, you would be arrested.
That's fine.
Okay.
Don't come close to me.
We're going
to.
Alrighty then. The pepper spray has been revealed.
Hey, this. Stop following us?
No. It's not illegal.
So you don't want us. You don't want us to come close to you, but you keep riding our tail.
I have given you plenty of distance the entire time.
Okay. Just so you know, if you do impede, I want you to hear this.
Me following you is not impeding. I'm well aware of my rights, buddy.
If you impede, you will be arrested.
I have not impeded.
I'm just letting you know.
What are you looking for, you weirdo?
She put that old thing. That's right.
The other guy's now looking through her passenger window.
Yeah, she did. But
what are you looking for, you weirdo? All right, guys, let's go annoy some more legal citizens. How about it?
Criminal.
Is your family proud of you? Also, why is he illegally riding in the trunk of the car?
He's not. This is a free road.
Yeah, he was illegally riding in the trunk of the car, you Nazi.
When you got nothing, you name call. Now, should that fellow have been a little bit taunting up front? No. Did that provoke this type of response? No, this is, I think, what is pretty standard fare for the hearts of unregenerate people. This is our current world. there are, this woman sees government appointed officers who are trying to take a child molester, and I think the other fellow said murderer, off the street. But because she thinks, she didn't know, that they're just harassing a legal citizen, therefore they are Nazis. You ain't going to fix that. You ain't going to send her to cognitive behavioral therapy or some psychology or talk therapy. You are not going to give her some book by some guru to help her go, you know, I think I've been viewing the world completely wrong. I think I've really got everything completely confused, upside down, not to mention, ooh, I got a mouth that is in need of some ivory liquid, which is what cleaned out my mouth when I dropped the F-bomb once as a child. I think it was about every seventh word for this young lady. All right, just leave it there for real. How do you help somebody like this? We get angry, doesn't help. We make memes, doesn't help. This woman needs a mind transplant. This woman needs regeneration. This woman needs the mind of Christ. While we were all tempted these days to get a little bit consternated about the Romans 1 upside down thinking of our world, let's remember what we are here to do, and that is to expand the kingdom of Christ. That means instead of retaliating against these people, we need to witness to these people. This is Wretched Radio.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, here's something that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, but it's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. As Sunday is Sunday, work is work, parenting is parenting, and somewhere in there you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast Integrated is so incredibly important. Dr. Krotz is a pastor, he's an author, he's a biblical counselor, and he's a Fortis Institute fellow and the host of Integrated. And he is helping people see how scripture speaks to every part of their life. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the practical, everyday, how do I actually live this stuff out stuff. And if what we're doing at Fortis Institute has been a source of encouragement for you, I want to ask you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. As a Christian, at some point, you're going to be in a conversation about abortion. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at Thanksgiving dinner, or maybe even with your own kids. And when that moment comes, you're either going to be ready for the conversation or you're not. Life is Best gets you ready. It's hosted by Scott Klusendorf, one of, if not the sharpest pro-life apologists in the world. This 13-episode series walks through every major argument you'll hear and shows you how to respond with clarity and compassion. You'll also hear from voices like Paul Washer and Dr. John MacArthur bringing the weight of scripture to an issue the world wants to keep shallow. You won't find angry debate tactics or gotcha moments. No, this is thoughtful teaching that engages the mind and the heart, because the goal isn't to win an argument. It's to change minds and point people to Christ. Life is Best. All 13 episodes streaming now on Fortis Plus for free. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Know your reformers. Jan Hus, a Czech priest, was inspired by the writings of John Wycliffe to preach against papal excess and false doctrines such as transubstantiation. Even as he was burned at the stake by the Catholic Church, he continued to preach the gospel and sing the Psalms. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Still feeling a little chilly from that trip to Minnesota. Wait, hold on. Breaking news. Breaking news. Pay attention. Listen to me. You got to watch this. Hey, it works for Fox News. This is Wretched Radio, although I don't know that Fox News is still doing it. Jimmy, you love the Fox News. Do you? When was the last time you turned into the Fox?
Wow, it has been, I can count multiple fingers in years. Probably two or three.
I got to tell you, we cut off the Fox and we cut off local news. I think it's made a difference in our lives, honestly, because we don't get as agitated by so many things. So I can't speak for the Fox anymore, but the other night was watching the Olympics. Oh, don't look at me like that. You do too. I wasn't going to, but somehow the pageantry, it just pulled me in. I've never watched curling with so much enthusiasm. Okay, they're gonna sweep the stone so that it bumps the... It's just for some reason, just because of what it is, you can't help but watch that thing. All right, now this is a test to determine if you've been watching the Olympics or not. Jimmy, this is going to be a test for you.
Okay.
You tell me who I am. Mona! Mona!
Couldn't tell you.
Mona! Okay, then you haven't been watching the curling. That's what the Italians yell. When apparently they like the slide of the stone. Mona! Mona! And then it means good.
Oh, okay.
So they're apparently happy with their role. I'm watching the Olympics and it ends. And immediately the local Atlanta 11 o'clock news pops on. Guess how it started? Breaking news. Breaking news. I didn't stick around long enough. I didn't care to find out because I just discovered that watching the local news, especially in Atlanta, Bang Bang City, it was just like pouring battery acid down into my guts. I can't do this anymore. They're still doing the breaking news. So if it's good enough for the NBC affiliate in Atlanta, it's good enough for us on Wretched. We can talk politics too, don't you know? Hey, have you been following the Mom Donnie? Doing all kinds of stuff. I love the people who think, all right, we're going to implement socialism and everything will be the same, only better. Except somebody has to pay for it. Furthermore, there will always be the one percenters that sit on top. You will always have a bourgeoisie. Now, they might wrap it in all kinds of socialist jingoism. But the reality is there will always be people in power. There will always be rich folks. There will always be people who have more. Nevertheless, Mom Donnie, he's determined to make sure that everybody has the exact same amount. Totally not biblical. Totally not helpful for a society. I think he just threatened that if they don't pass the tax on the rich, the wealth tax, then he's just going to raise everybody's property tax by like 9.5%. Oh. Okay, that should get the economy humming. It doesn't, but that's not why I brought up the Mamdani. He's mad because the LGBT flag was taken down. Here's his tweet. I'm outraged. Outraged. He's outraged a flag was taken down. Outraged. What's left, sir, when a dog is run over by a drunk driver? What's left for you in your arsenal of expressions to describe how you feel when a child is molested by somebody who's here illegally? You got anything left? Okay. He's outraged. Some of us have a different outrage scale. Apparently, he's outraged by the removal of the Rainbow Pride flag from Stonewall National Monument. New York is the birthplace of the modern LGBTQ+ rights movement, and no act of erasure will ever change or silence that history. Cool, then there's no problem, right? Oh, sorry. Our city
has a duty not just to honor this legacy, but to live up to it. Live up to it. Jimmy, do you know what that means? I don't know exactly what that means. I know we use words like that and everybody goes, yeah, yeah. You got to live up to the legacy. What does that mean? Everybody needs to stop being heterosexual. I don't know what it means. I will always fight for a New York City that invests in our LGBTQ plus community, defends their dignity, and protects every one of our neighbors without exception. Okay. Well, we'll defend human beings too. We'll do kind things for all people regarding of their sexual persuasion. So this ain't nothing unique, but it does make me wonder how he deals with all of those verses, the surahs in the Quran, that condemns LGBTQ in no uncertain terms. I'm telling you, it is crystal clear. There are probably 24 verses. I mean, the Bible, we've got a few. The Quran, make no mistake about it. Apparently, it was a bit of a problem when Muhammad was supposedly writing down the Quran, that they have about 24 verses condemning it. And then you've got the Hadith, if you're not familiar with that. Those apparently are the musings, what Muhammad said, that were recorded by others on his behalf. You've got, for instance, Hadith 1. This is found in a number of sources. Kill the one who does it and the one to whom it is done. We know what they're talking about. Whoever you find doing the action of the people of Lot, kill the one who does it and the one to whom it is done. That's the actual text. Would you like me to go on? If a man who is not married is seized committing sodomy, he will be stoned to death. That would be Hadith number two. It goes on and on. The four major schools, the major Sunni schools. Now, don't forget the Shia, but don't forget the Sunnis. They've got different schools. I think 3 out of 4 of them say death. It is the Abu Hanifa founded Hanafi school, considered it a grave sin, but didn't mandate a fixed punishment for it. There are other schools like the Malikai school, M-A-L-I-K-I, death penalty in all cases, married or unmarried, often by stoning. The Shafi school, death penalty. Hanbali school, death penalty. But they did have, in fairness, though, they did have some debates about the death of homosexuals. They couldn't decide if it was better to do it by stoning or the sword. So in fairness, just to be full disclosure, they did have some debate over this subject. How does Mr. Mamdani square that with what he texted out? The answer is he doesn't. And the only explanation for it, and by the way, he can be covered in Islamic law because what he is doing, if it is affirmed by Islam as something good, then it's okay to lie. It's okay to do deceitful things. Taqiya is that word. No, it's not what you do with lemon and salt. Taqiya is that it's okay for you to lie if it advances the cause of Allah. That ain't biblical either. More political news. Jimmy, you're going to love this political story.
Okay.
Chelsea Clinton.
Oh, I love hearing about her.
Okay, she's a politician's daughter. Her claim, I don't know why this resurfaced again, but Life News got over 1 million views on X. They reposted a 2016 story, quote, from Chelsea Clinton. I was raised in a Methodist church. I wonder how often they actually went to church. Do they have records? And I left the Baptist church before my dad did. That, by the way, sorry, my Southern Baptist friends, love you to pieces, but, oh, if I'd had my druthers, I would have encouraged you. Actually, I did. You shouldn't have waited for Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter to leave you. You should have set them packing under church discipline. I wish that had happened. That would have been, well, I think more biblical. She left before her dad did because I didn't know why they were talking to me about abortion when I was 6 in Sunday school. And that's a true story. I'm confused, Chelsea. Why do you have a problem with talking to a six-year-old about abortion? Do you have a problem with adults talking to children about other adult things? You know, like the rainbow flag issues? Got any problem with that? No, no, they don't. Hey, this is interesting because it's from Fulton County. The FBI says they found major irregularities in the 2020 election in Georgia. No. Not out of Fulton County. I can't even believe that would happen. Hey, Gavin Newsom out in California signed a $90 million funding bill for Planned Parenthood, calling it an emergency. Oh. Oh. Why do they need government funding? Why do they have to take our tax dollars? And they shouldn't be in business, but why are we funding that as opposed to somebody who's making shampoo? Oh, I know why. Because this is a party that is bent on death. Well, that was it. That was really cheery.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Scott Olin.
Oh, thank you, man.
Film at 11.
Now, this is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortas News Break, a production of Fortas Institute. Starting in South Carolina, Republican lawmakers have introduced a wave of legislation to protect unborn children beyond the state's existing six-week heartbeat law. The most significant bill is Senate Bill 781, the Life Begins at Conception Act, which would protect preborn children from the moment of conception, effectively prohibiting nearly all abortions in the state. A companion measure, the Prenatal Equal Protection Act, would classify embryos as persons under homicide law. Other bills would criminalize coerced abortions, regulate mifepristone and misoprostol as controlled substances, and penalties range from 5 to 50 years and allow private citizens to sue pill distributors for at least $100,000 per violation. Over at the FDA, pro-life senators are running out of patience. Senator Josh Hawley walked out of a closed-door briefing on the promised mifepristone safety review and summed it up with one word. Zilch. Senator Bill Cassidy called the lack of progress disappointing. In the meantime, Planned Parenthood committed a record 392,000 plus abortions in its most recent reporting period, roughly 40% of all abortions in the country, driven largely by mail order chemical abortion. In Hawley's verdict, there are more abortions now than when Roe was the law of the land. And that's not a talking point, that's a tragedy. On the campus front, Georgetown University, nominally a Catholic institution, the student newspaper is demanding the school cancel its annual Cardinal O'Connor Conference on Life, calling it harmful and divisive ideology. The editors also objected to the campus hospital not performing abortions at a Jesuit university founded on Catholic teaching. Over to Australia, where a judge handed a convicted rapist just 2 years in prison against a typical 5 to 6 and called him a wonderful young man with a very bright future. The man brutally attacked a 20-year-old woman at a park after meeting her at a nightclub. The victim said her life had been ripped apart and the judge's word was wonderful. That contrast is everything you need to know about where certain courtrooms have landed. On more solid ground, local police agreements with ICE have surged 950% under Trump. Biden left office with 135 such agreements. There are now 1,168 across 39 states. In Nigeria, roughly 100 U.S. military personnel have arrived to help counter Islamist insurgents in the country's north. President Trump has been direct about his concern for Nigerian Christians under threat from military groups. The troops will train and advise local forces rather than engage in direct combat. And that wraps up today's Fortas News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortas Plus or sign up to become a Fortas Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortasInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortas News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 1646. The Westminster Confession is drafted in the Jerusalem room at Westminster Abbey. The confessions were drafted by an assembly of Episcopalians, Presbyterians, and Independents, and became the foundation of Reformed theology throughout Europe and America. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Care for a little fire? Scarecrow? That was my Wicked Witch impersonation. This is Wretched Radio. Forget the Scarecrow. In fact, forget that kind of fire. How's about some heat from Paul Washer? You say, does he deliver anything else? Well, the answer is actually he does. It's just the stuff that's fiery that tends to get all the social media traction. Paul Washer, since 2002, when he was launched into public consciousness, at least in evangelical circles, and his shocking youth message, still worth listening to on occasion, when he appeared before 5,000 young Baptists to just blast them with their worldliness. Well, let's see if I'm doing the math right. Over two decades later, he's still concerned about the same thing. What you're about to hear is just a snippet. It's actually a five-hour presentation. I think he did five lectures at a prison in Louisiana. He spent the first 2 hours talking about sin, the next 2 or 3 hours talking about grace. He is still on fire. This is a man who is still passionate about preaching the good old-fashioned gospel. This will be good for you if you're not a pastor. It might be especially good for you if you are. You don't go about the business of trying to become a Paul Washer impersonator. Be you. But maybe, just maybe, we have been affected. I was going to say infected, but affected is probably just a nicer word, by the world that says, don't talk like that to or about people. Paul Washer, I think, is going to demonstrate maybe our temperature has just been a little low. At best, we've perhaps been on simmer. Paul Washer is going to, he's going to bring it to a boil. Why? Well, not just because they're prisoners, but because the gospel is not glorious unless we understand that from which we have been saved. And what we have been saved from is God himself. And that should cause terror. It is not bad to let people get scared. Why? Because it's the beginning of wisdom. This might also be applicable for you if you're a parent and you're wondering, should I let my kids be afraid of the Lord? The answer is yes, you should. Now, you don't want to terrorize a small child. But the sooner they can grasp God is not one to be trifled with, the better. Paul Washer, I think, might be offering us an adjustment to the way we're presenting the gospel. If you have some Teflon, you might want to surround yourself with it. Remember, he's in a prison.
He tells planets to move in certain circles, and they all bow in obedience. He tells mountains to be lifted up and they obey him. He tells valleys to be cast down and they go on their knees and fall before him. He tells the great oceans, you will come to this place and you will go no further. And they worship him. And then he looks at you and says, come. And you go, no. That's why on the day of judgment, all creation will stand to its feet and applaud and worship God when he condemns your soul to hell.
When was the last time you heard preaching like that? That's a man on fire. And again, this is not an encouragement to start trying to emulate exactly what Paul Washer does. But are we perhaps too timid, too tepid with our presentation of the gospel? Are we perhaps afraid of the threatenings of the gospel? Look, it's easy to get off balance and to think that for a second we aren't influenced by the world. Like, well, okay, in our postmodern times, you don't want to offend anybody, so we water the thing down. But we're not willing to let people be afraid. We're not willing to present God in such a way that they tremble. Now, of course, you don't stop there. That's what bad open-air preachers do. They just, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. You women, you should be happy to get a vacuum cleaner. Actually, that was a quote from an open-air preacher. Not kidding. That was Brother Jed years ago out at the University of Minnesota. He'd go everywhere. All he did was yell at kids. I guess talk about sin. never, ever got to the gospel. Well, Paul does, but before he does, it's clear he is not afraid for people to be afraid. He is not scared for people to be scared, because that is the beginning of wisdom.
You must understand this. This is not a game. You will not stand before him. I've heard men say, well, I'll stand there. I heard a movie star say this a few years ago. Well, if there is a God, I'll stand before him and I'll give him a piece of my mind. No, you will not. You will melt before him like a tiny wax figurine before a blast furnace.
It's true. It's true. Have we forgotten this? Now, please note, this doesn't mean that we can't speak about the loving kindness of God, but won't the loving kindness of God be magnified if we spend more time talking about the terror of the Lord? That it is indeed a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God? Maybe, even with street evangelism, with our children, you teach Sunday school. Have we lifted up God as the consuming fire, or have we just kind of set that aside because we want to present God as being a tender, loving God? Now, see, there's the problem right there. He is a tender, loving God. It's not. This isn't either or, and that's our problem, isn't it? We have a tendency to be either or, but the reality is it is both things that need to be presented about the character of God.
That's what we're dealing with here. You say, well, I don't like that. It doesn't matter. You don't like that you're in prison, but you are. And if a man can make you do something you don't want, how much more God? Who do you think you're dealing with here? This is God.
In another part of his presentation, that was a minute and 27 seconds. Can you stand more? Can you bear more? This is because I fear that too often when we present, even when we present the law, it's done kind of casually. I'm guilty of it too. And if you're sitting on a bench with somebody, you don't want to be yelling at them the way Paul is. Different context, but pressing in, hey, this is earnest. Doesn't mean you have to sound sharp and severe, but this is really, we're talking about your eternity. We're talking about you facing God, and he is not one with whom you should trifle or take lightly. I think that's the exact same word redundantly and repetitively. Please understand what you are facing and what he will do to you for all of eternity. Maybe Paul is helping us with an adjustment. At a different time in his presentation, he said to the prisoners, look, I understand that this, what I'm about to say, I could get shanked for this. It's good you're in prison. It is good that you are here. Because you see, there are men, heralded men and women, successful people that the world praises. They accumulate wealth, they accumulate power and notoriety, and then they die and go to hell. God was gracious to you. He arrested you. He stopped you so that you could hear this and not spend eternity in hell. It is good that God stopped you. It was a gift that God got your attention, because here you are and you can escape hell. You don't like this temporal prison? You are going to weep and wail and gnash your teeth for eternity in God's prison. This has been a gift for you to be arrested and to be in this prison this day. That's bold preaching. And if I could, as an aside, just listening to this Paul Washer is such a treat. When Paul had his heart attacks, I can't even remember now how many years ago it was. 5 years ago, something like that. He had a number of heart attacks. Remember, he died like 6 times on the table. I mean, like, they thought he was dead. Clearly he wasn't, because, well, you just heard him. And that ain't AI. Wonder if AI could ever create a Paul Washer sermon like that. What that would sound like. He was deemed dead to the point where the surgeons went out into the waiting room to inform his wife, your husband has died. Oh, well, he didn't. And here he is. But he did experience some stuff with his brain. And when I was at the MacArthur Memorial with Paul, he said that he was just rejoicing because he admitted that after the heart attacks, he was brain foggy and you know, groping for concepts and finishing thoughts was a genuine struggle. And I can't recall what he said did it or how it happened exactly, but basically he said he woke up and his brain was back. And it's clear again. And you can hear that in this, can't you? Because it's like he's just on it. He's not groping. He's not hesitant. He's bold. Praise God for that. So I'm just wondering, having heard just 1 minute and 27 seconds of Paul Washer, is it possible you and I, in some way, need to make an evangelistic adjustment? This is Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Well, you can't judge me. Yeah, you've heard that 1,000 times. It's the verse people quote when they don't want to be corrected, even people who've never opened a Bible. But here's the question. Is that actually what Scripture teaches? Or have we been misreading one of the most misunderstood commands in the entire Bible? Thou Shalt Judge is a 13-lesson series with Todd Friel and Justin Peters that sets the record straight. They demonstrate why failing to discern truth from error doesn't make you loving, it makes you dangerous. Righteous judgment isn't hateful. It's one of the most loving things you can do because it protects people from the damage of false teaching. This series even includes a free study guide. It's perfect for your family, your youth group, or just working through yourself. If you've ever been told that calling something wrong makes you the problem, this is one you'll want to watch. It's streaming free on Fortis Plus right now. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the apostle of our confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please meet Paul Washer. This is Wretched Radio. You're thinking, wait a second, skinny boy. I just met Paul Washer. He's that fiery preacher who went into that Louisiana prison and just scorched the prisoners. Yeah, that's Paul Washer. But I'm going to introduce you to the other Paul Washer, who's the exact same Paul Washer, because when Paul preaches about sin, he preaches intensely. When he preaches about judgment, he preaches it with urgency. He's also trying to elevate people's understanding of who God is. He's not a wimpy God. He's not this passive, oh, things didn't work well, I don't want to be. No, God is holy, righteous, and just. And God will make sure that every evil deed is tried in his courtroom and punished rightly as a sin against an infinitely holy God. And that's an urgent message. And Paul preaches that one way. But then he also preaches the gospel. He also preaches grace. He also preaches mercy. So just amuse me for a moment. I just want to re-listen to about 15 seconds of the first Paul Washer so that you can hear the tenderness of Paul Washer when he preaches the gospel. He
looks at you and says, come, and you go, no! That's why on the day of judgment, all creation will stand to its feet and applaud and worship God when he condemns your soul to hell. You must understand this. This is not a game.
That's Paul Washer. So is this.
If you are a believer, if you truly are a Christian, that all those crimes, all those sins, all the shame of it, all the guilt of it is now placed on him.
That is a different Paul Washer. Why? Because he's preaching the gospel.
Does God hate sin? In the same way that I cannot describe to you God's love for righteousness, I can't even begin to sound the depths of God's hatred for evil. And although God does love the men that he has made, and he beckons them right now, come, come, please, come. And he holds back his wrath. One day he'll retract both, and there'll be nothing left for you but to be swallowed up in the wrath of God.
That's pretty severe. Delivered tenderly. In other words, there's a place for both in preaching. And I'm just wondering, have any of us, including myself, lost our balance?
And jailhouse religion is not going to save you. Repentance and sincere faith in Jesus Christ is going to save you. Do you realize that the majority of professing Christians, not in prison, in church, are not converted? Do you realize that? When they say, you know, America is, what, 25%, 40% Christian? If that was true, we wouldn't have killed 70 million babies. And just so you know, the great majority of them black. So many people, yeah, I'm Christian. We're going to deal with that today. I can't tell you how many people. I said, you know, I'll share the gospel with them on the street. And I'll say this. Have you come to know Jesus? Have you repented? Have you believed? Yeah, I done that. Like it was a flu shot. Don't worry about me. When I was 9 years old with the preacher, he asked me to pray that prayer. I prayed that prayer and I got that out of the way. I done that. I was baptized. Yeah, I've done that. Don't worry about me. You're living like hell. Don't worry about me. I done that. That kind of language. I don't want to be smart alecky or trite, but that's exactly what people say. I done did that. But what you need to see is this. The horror of the cross is that on the cross, the Son of God suffered the wrath of God that was due us. And if you notice in that Jeremiah passage, the nations are saying, I won't drink it. And God says, yes, you will. There was a story. I don't have all the names and everything, but I'll tell you the story. A great Puritan preacher is telling it about a co-fellow elder pastor who had come under Great Depression and began to doubt his salvation. He would see the weakness in his own life. And he said he had a dream, and he was at the gates of heaven, and fearful, he was off to the side. And he said, all of a sudden, trumpets are blowing, and he sees this mass of glorious people. It was the patriarchs of the Old Testament, and they're marching in through the gates of heaven. And he says to himself, I can't go with them. And then after them comes all the prophets, King David, the horns are blowing even louder. There's even more glory. And he looks and he goes, I can't go with them. And then he sees the apostles coming in, and the horns is even louder and the glory is even greater. The apostles and the martyrs. And he goes, I can't go with them. But then there's silence and trumpets blow exceedingly great. And there is a magnificent glory. And here comes Rahab, Manasseh, and all the great sinners of the Old Testament who had repented and believed. And he said, I can go in with them. Oh, my dear friend, if you're a brother in Christ, look to Christ. Look to Christ. Live for him because of what he did. Live for him. If you're outside of Christ, no longer remain outside. Trust in him. You say, I've been baptized. And I say, I don't care. Hell will be filled with baptized people. If I walked up to you right now and said, explain to me your hope for heaven. Tell me what Jesus did. Share with me your conversion. Share with me the fruit of your conversion. How are you living now? What really happened to you? That's what's important. Not just that you got wet, or some religious authority who doesn't know enough tells you you're saved because you repeated some prayer. You are saved because you have repented of your sin and believed in Christ, and you are learning to cherish and love and rely upon Christ.
Schizophrenic? No. But isn't that tenderness warmer because of the fire that he was throwing earlier, that this is a man who does care, but it is a man who is willing to let people tremble, a man who is willing to let people be afraid. And I was so struck. I found this as a short initially, where he's just, you know, yelling at him. And I thought, I had to stop and consider my evangelistic encounters. I had to stop and consider, how do I preach the gospel at Alpharetta Bible Church? Jimmy, did I mention we're in 1 Peter at Alpharetta Bible Church?
1 Peter. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I thought to myself, I'm not going to become Paul Washer because I can't. Nobody can. But I wonder if I need to adjust my dial. I wonder if I haven't swung too far to the other way. And by the way, this is not a one-time exercise. This is almost a perpetual exercise in the Christian life. And it's not just the gospel. It's justification and sanctification. It's how we even view sin. We just always need to realize, like Luther said, you get the drunken man gets on the horse, falls off one side, and then he gets back up, gets on the horse, falls off the other side. The pendulum of our lives as Christians, it can just swing back and forth from one extreme to the next. And we need to make sure that we're at center. The problem is we are at center, but it's usually just for that split second when the pendulum ball swings by it. We've got to come to rest there and make sure that we haven't fallen off of one side. And I would be remiss at this moment if I didn't ask you, my dear friend, who has never repented and put their trust in Jesus Christ, or your relationship at best has been casual. You just kind of check out Jesus when there's a need or flop open a Bible when there's an occasion. But in your heart of hearts, perhaps now you realize, uh-oh, I have never come to this consuming fire on my knees in repentance and faith. Then I would encourage you to do so today. Be saved from the wrath that is to come. And there is only one way to do that, and that is to put your trust in the one who consumed God's wrath for you. Come in repentance and faith, and he will save even you. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.